And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Is there any better feeling than getting paid for something you absolutely love doing that's fun? Well, if so, you need to check out Money Master's Guide, Game Mastering for Fun and Profit by Arjade Productions. The Money Master's Guide shows you several ways to pivot your already creative skills as a game master into a profitable side hustle. In today's world, everyone needs just a little side money to help make ends meet. Why not find ways to use your gaming hobby to help pay those bills? With Money Master's Guide, you'll look at many different paths and actionable activities that you can do to help put you on the path to becoming a money master. Visit rebrand.ly Money Master's Guide now and start rolling in the dough. Hello and welcome, heroes, to the Crit Academy on Earth Tips and Tricks. I am your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Ian.
And I'm your co-host, Brandon.
We hope to inspire you with creative content you can bring with you on your next adventure tonight. I am really excited to talk about our monster today, Glacerius. Glacerius. Let's go with that. This
sounds like a Pokemon.
It could be one. This ape-like, it almost is like a Yeti, right? It's this beast-like frozen ram creature. Little more beast. Its intelligence is only 6 or 7, so it's not super smart, can't speak, but it is smart enough to kind of make primitive weapons and everything. You're going to start with a CR. It's a CR3. You're going to start with a giant scorpion stat block. We're going to lose its claw sting intelligence, become 7, and it gains immunity to cold and vulnerability to psychic. We're going to grant it some unique features. Because it is a herd animal and a pack creature, we're going to give it pack tactics. We're also going to give it multi-attack, where it can strike up to 3 times, twice with its new slam ability that allows it to grapple a target, as well as its frigid sickle. Now, what makes this frigid sickle so much fun? On a hit, the person has to succeed a con save, or they begin to turn to solid ice and are restrained. They get to repeat the saving throw at the end of their next turn. On a success, the effect ends. On a failure, the target becomes petrified until freed by greater restoration or other magic. What do you guys think?
It sounds fun.
It does seem fun.
I like the idea of freezing your players over. It's like, oh, we're just going to get frozen. It's not bad. They're not gonna see the whole petrification thing coming.
Yeah, and that's basically what it is. It's basically the petrification spell, but instead of turning to stone, you're turning into an ice pillar.
Like, what if instead of, like, petrification, they just become paralyzed, if you will, just to show that they're encased in ice, but let melt afterwards? Assuming they live long enough for that to happen.
Well, yeah, so that's definitely something. It seemed like the petrified condition just made more sense, because paralysis still allows for easier removal, I think. I think paralysis can be removed with lesser restoration. But no, I'm just going with the petrified theme. I just change it from stone to ice. And I think that this one works really well. In the patron bounty, there is a character who... There's this winter festival going on, ice sculptures, kind of like in Frankenmuth type stuff. And this one guy used to suck, but he all of a sudden is like the top tier. They're very lifelike. Turns out he's finding these frozen adventurers and dragging their frozen forms and entering them into competitions. And the characters have to figure out what's going on. And it's a lot of fun. I think this is a fun monster. I chose for it to be more beast-like. What do you guys think about that?
That's fine. in some ways that makes it more unpredictable, and it also makes it something, relatively speaking, you can't inherently reason with. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't offer them food or something like that, but yeah.
Right. Basilisk is considered a beast, isn't it?
Yep. Doesn't use weapons, though, right? So that's kind of one of the trade-offs. Is that it's smart enough that it can use primitive. See, I used the originally the 8 stat blob was kind of what came to mind, right? They're smart. They can use primitive tools. A little bit smarter than them, but not enough for like language and stuff. More beast.
Yeah.
So I think it came across pretty good. It's definitely a fun one. And what do you guys think about it having access to pack tactics though? Is that a little too dangerous?
No, I mean, because that just means as a DM, you have a creatures that can use this thing called, what's the word, tactics. And, well, DMs like to have fun too.
I certainly do. All right, that'll do it for our monster, Glacius. Brandon, would you like to tell us about our encounter of the podcast?
Our encounter of this podcast is Kingdom in Crisis. Yet another one. After a recent spate of bad rulership, the Kingdom of Sinfair is in dire straits. The newly crowned king, Remus. Remus makes me think of Seamus. The newly crowned king, Remus, the inheritor, has enacted new laws that prevent certain races from owning businesses. Oh, wow. Walking the streets of major cities at night and learning magic. Wow, that went south really fast.
Yeah.
Those persecuted by these laws have begun to rebel against the king, Remus. Good job. And the clashes between the rebels and the crown have escalated almost to the point of civil war. In addition, the instability of Sinfair has caused some of its more ruthless neighbors to plan invasions to annex parts of the kingdom.
Ouch.
Uh-oh.
Shit just
got
real.
The Society of Benevolent Brewers. The Society of Benevolent Brewers is looking for agents to help broker a meeting between the rebels and the king. But any attempt to forging peace will have to overcome both sides' mutual mistrust. Upon speaking to both sides, the agents may learn that Remus was pressured into passing the new laws to legitimize his claim to the throne by several powerful nobles, while the rebels are torn between revolution and reconciliation.
It is worth noting that this is from the remarkable Guild of Nerd Heroes from Loresmith. What do you guys think about this?
The fact that he was pressured into doing it by other nobles, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, it's also the fact, too, that given how oppressive many of these new laws are, many of the sections of the kingdom are being annexed by other kingdoms,
yep.
A lot of these citizens there might be thinking, yes, annex us, please. We don't want to deal with this dick. Just saying.
I think the best part of this encounter is that it leaves the race that it's talking about up to the DM. It doesn't say what race it is.
It doesn't call them out.
So if the majority of your players are the same race, you could totally screw them over by doing that.
That is awesome.
It's like, oh, everyone's giving everyone dirty looks except for the tiefling and the elf. It's like, yeah, but the rest of us are dwarves. Yeah, well, they don't fucking like you.
We're short and stocky. I just want to say that ever since I got my Remarkable Guilds and Their Heroes book, I have been blown away by the writing. It's on pre-order right now. You can pick it up at Laura Smith's Kickstarter page. This was so well written, and this just – the political intrigue lover in me is just wants to include this so much in my next campaign. My next adventure and stuff, because it's so open-ended and there's so many cogs that fit together in a myriad of different ways that you can really just have a lot of fun with it. And as you pointed out, it doesn't say which races are prevented from opening businesses and even walking the streets at night stuff. So whole learning magic thing, right? If you choose dwarves and you got a dwarf cleric, well, he's going to have some troubles, right?
That's pretty bad. That hits close to home for a lot of people.
Yeah, I bet. So make sure that you understand your players and their comfort levels when you do something like this. Okay?
especially like that, that people are going to see the parallels. Yeah, it's like, sure. You're not going to let them learn magic. I mean, like, we weren't able to learn how to read.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's not like that. This is make-believe. Right. It's just something you guys got to overcome.
Yep.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I like this game, is you can take a racist prick and throw him in as a bad guy, and once the players get rid of him, it's just all more...
It just feels good, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, that'll do it for our encounter, The Kingdom in Crisis, from Markable Guilds and their heroes. Ian, would you like to tell us about our magic item today?
Our magic item today is the Boots of the Vigilant, which comes from Matthew Mercer. It is a wondrous, uncommon item. And when you wear these boots, you seem to have a sense of impending danger when it approaches you. After you roll for initiative, you can choose to roll 1d8 and add to your initiative roll. And once this ability is used, you can't use it again until the next dawn.
What do you guys think about this?
I like it quite a bit because you know, since you can only use it once, it's not game-breaking.
Right.
And also the player has to pick and choose when to use it. But when you do decide to use it, even if you just roll a 1 on that extra d8, that's still more initiative. That's still sometimes can be enough to bump you up.
Yep. What about you, B?
All I could think of was the Assassin Rogue.
Yeah.
And this for him. Yeah. Because you get that assassination by going first. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is one of the few items that I've seen that affects initiative. There's not a lot of ways to improve your initiative in D&D. So having a magical item that's uncommon that does that is pretty nice. As you pointed out, Ian, it being only once a day definitely means that they have to pick and choose when to use it, because they're likely going to have more than one in combat encounter in that time frame. So,
isn't there a improved initiative feat?
There is. I didn't say there was only no other way. I just said there's not a lot of ways. So this definitely adds to it. I would like to point out that it doesn't require attunement, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. If for whatever reason, I'm setting in my mind a situation that's like a chase and somebody's carrying something. If you know, hey, we got to get this orb of Bast out of here. I'm going to let you wear my boots for a little bit. It gives you a little bit of spring in your step and help you, get away. And so moving it around actually becomes feasible. So, all right, I think that'll do it for our magic item, the Boots of the Vigilant from Matt Mercer. I'd like to take a moment to let you guys know that if you'd like to support our show, we're always releasing new D&D content for our patrons. Our monsters get fully fleshed out with beautiful artwork, backstories, and little lore that can be passed out through knowledge checks to your characters. Along with that, it gets compiled into a nice monthly magazine as well that you can use to read the Dungeon Master tips, the player tips, and all the other options that we have. So if this sounds like something that would interest you and you'd like to support the show, please consider swinging on over to patreon.com/CritAcademy and drop a few coins to your Crit Academy folks and get some beautiful rewards, as well as help keep the show funded and moving forward. Our dungeon master tip of the podcast is add damaging terrain to help speed up combat. This comes from my good man, Sly Flourish. Fantastic terrain that inflicts damage is a great way to keep a battle running fast and still keep the threat on the players high. Large sections of an encounter map that do damage, such as, maybe 5 damage or per tier to any creature who begins its turn in the area, will put a significant amount of extra damage on both sides of the fight. And if you choose this option, you can use it as creatures or encounter effects that can move the PCs into the PCs and NPCs into the different areas, so the battle just becomes faster and more dynamic, allowing abilities like the shove action and pushes and pulls to be much more effective, as well as making the battle run smoother and much more quickly. What do you guys think?
It does speed things up a little bit, and it can keep a fight becoming too tedious. And given how the terrain may be dealing damage and what other effects it may add onto it, it can make things more dynamic.
Yep, absolutely. What do you think, B?
I like the idea of maybe you're fighting what else guys call a bunch of mercenaries, and they start dropping vials of acid on the ground.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Now, and maybe they're wearing boots to prevent them from taking the damage from the acid, but you're not.
Ooh, I like that. That is really cool.
So oh, yeah.
Getting pretty heavy into that. If this is something you're interested in and you like it, please consider checking out our Fantastic Terrain. It delves deep into this by giving you dozens of different terrain options, some that deal damage, others that enhance spells and powers and stuff. Consider checking it out, and we'll provide you with some of those fun terrain. But either way, it's a great way to add flavor to the field. I like the idea of like a swamp having, you know, like some acid, as Brandon was saying. Or maybe a forest that has tangling vines that creep up around with thorns and scrape and twist and tie and bind and hurt. Just sounds like a lot of fun. That the bush becomes more than just cover. It becomes a tangle of death. and it'd be really great a way to utilize the nature check and the survival check in combat, as that could be something that they identify as a threat immediately and something to be used. All right. That'll do it for our Dungeon Master tip. Add damaging terrain to help speed up combat. Our player tip of the podcast is...
Don't be a dick.
Add flavor to your saves comes from our patron Zambo on our Discord. This player tip is brought to you by a little bit of beer in a late night shower. Role play your saving throws. What does your character actually feel when they make a charisma save, a wisdom save, or an intelligence save? For charisma, is your character momentarily wooed by a compliment? For intelligence, do they almost have an instinctive reaction, but then hesitate because it's not logical? Or for wisdom, do they start to impulsively react, but then stop? Now, some easier saves are easier than others, such as constitution or dexterity, you know, shrugging off a vibrant poison through your body or, you know, reflexively jumping out of the way makes sense. But those mental saves is something that gets overlooked all the time. So you can really enhance those saves at your table by adding a bit of flavor. I really like this because honestly, I didn't realize that I don't do this until this tip showed up in our Discord. What do you guys think?
It does need to be something that needs to be done right. And I think it's done best if you keep it brief and concise.
Yes.
Because if every player takes their sweet time to articulate in fine detail how they made each and every single save, that's going to slow everything down a lot.
That's true, but is that going to be any different than explaining an assault on your character with an attack roll?
I did say brief, so.
But yeah, I think that it's definitely something that could be a little fun. What do you think, Brandon?
I've used a few of these in the game. It can be difficult, though.
Yeah, it can be. So, especially with certain things like will wisdom makes sense, right? That's basically willpower, right? Your ability to have a stronger mind over matter thing. Intelligence is one that I struggle with because how do you logically explain psychic damage, for instance, right? So, what I've ended up kind of doing is... when somebody is attacked, let's use a mind flayer since it's such a well-known psychic monster, where it makes a psionic attack against somebody, it's easy to have them start to almost like they see illusions or flashbacks or nightmares in their mind's eye, right? I always, in movies, you see that kind of the quick screaming and then the screen shifts and then shifts back. Something kind of like that to me, where it disrupts the reality is kind of the way I always go. But that can be tough to make fit in every situation, I think. So either way, I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. I still keep picturing a enemy mage casting fireball. And when the flames only disappear, there's a massive scorch mark on the ground except for a 5-foot area where the rogue's standing. I don't know how they're taking damage, but okay.
I've never really thought about that, because they have that evasion thing, which means when they succeed, it drops it to zero damage, right?
You saved, and you use uncanny dodge.
Yeah, I feel like that's a moment, at least when you really have to make sure that you describe potentially some sort of object that can help explain that away, you know, like a cart or a pillar or a boulder or somebody's body. Like, that's what I envision him doing, just like, uncanny dodge is just hide behind a friend.
I'm now picturing Christopher Walken in the film Seven Psychopaths. Yep. Take some damage from Fireball. No, but you can have that on a safe. I don't care.
But I have a gun.
So? But that doesn't make any sense. Too bad.
It's just how it is. All right, that'll do it for our player tip of the podcast.
Don't be a dick.
And you can avoid dickitude by adding flavor to your saves. If you enjoy the show and you'd like to support us, please visit CritAcademy.com, pick up some of our best-selling content, our newest release, our Extraordinary Expeditions, and our soon-to-be-released, our Exotic Equipment Perks. Consider checking those out and supporting us in a monetary fashion if you can. If you can't, please go to the website and maybe share some of your favorites with your audiences or your Facebook groups. Tell your friends on TikTok, or if you want a more reoccurring support, become a patron and get lots of fun rewards every single month delivered to your inbox. That'll do it for our show today. I am your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Ian.
And I'm your co-host, Brandon. Thanks for listening.
Keep your blade sharp and spells prepared, heroes.